thoughts from you throughout the show. But we're heading to Melbourne now, where one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects is currently underway. It used to be the city's largest and busiest port, but in the late 1980s, the Docklands became a derelict industrial wasteland. Now there's a new ambitious programme that wants to reconnect Melbourne with its historical waterfront. Our contributor in the city, Tamara Thiessen, brings us this report.
First came South Bank in the 1990s. Now the Docklands sky-high apartment and retail towers sprouting on the other side of the Yarra River. Over the past two decades, the former industrial port has been getting a gradual but dramatic makeover. With more than 20 skyscrapers over 200 metres tall still on the drawing board, Melbourne's newest suburb is aiming for 20 million annual visitors, 20,000 residents and 60,000 daily workers on completion in 2025. Docklands fans uphold the surging skyscrapers as an antidote to suburban sprawl and Melbourne's housing crisis, with the population projected to almost double from its current 4.4 million by 2030. But a scathing local report says Australia's second biggest city is verging on skyscraper overdose, with four times the maximum density allowed in global hubs such as Hong Kong, Tokyo and New York. The report blames poor regulation for a hyper-dense city with inadequate breathing and greening spaces. 100 towers have been approved since 2011. Dozens more are under review. Even Lord Mayor Robert Doyle feels developers are cramming apartments in and up too much, but denies the risk of ghost towers from oversupply, with sufficient demand to absorb 10,000 units built since 2014.
I think there'll come a time when we slow down. You know, we don't want areas of the city looking like a porcupine. We need that extra housing, and there's no doubt about that in the world. We need affordable housing, and that tends to be apartments. And that means towers. Not everywhere is suitable for towers, and I think the market will catch up and say, well, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time, probably that's the amount of development we're going to see.
Ironically, many architects see Docklands as a showcase for sustainable design. One example is the newly opened M Docklands Tower by Ellenberg Fraser, with its solar-controlled glass facade. Director Callum Fraser says Australia needs to get over its allergy to high-rise. The swing from suburbia to skyscrapers, he says, is inevitable.
Immigration is changing. So we used to build a lot of houses out on the fringe because the immigration profile was large family groups were emigrating. So recently, singles have emigrating as number of people has outstripped number of people in family units. So you can forget building houses out on the edge of the city forever because these guys are on their own and they want to live in the centre of the city. And as much as you hate high-rise buildings and the kind of skyline in the centre of the city, that's what's going to happen because you need to supply a vastly increased number of dwellings to support the same number of people that are independently serviced.
The idea of a surf park for the Docklands is being floated by young architect Damien Rogers. He wants to bring some truly local culture and public spaces to the budding precinct.
I think it creates an interesting sense of place. The city of Melbourne has great places, but this here will be a unique place to be because you'll be able to not only use the wave, but if you're not using your wave, you'll be able to watch it. And even if you're in a cafe at the other side of the Victoria Harbour, you're going to be able to hear the sounds of the wave, and it's going to create a very unique environment for our city.
Other designers are challenging the high-rise norm. A team from RMIT University has come up with an alternative plan for future waterfront developments, incorporating diverse housing and nature, says Associate Professor Sarah Beckersey. High-density towers might make good investment properties, she says, but not if they end up being so crammed nobody wants to live there.
We were kind of compelled by a concern that Melbourne's at risk of being characterised by a place with really high density, unappealing, unattractive, unlivable high-rise in the centre, and then a kind of endless urban sprawl. So we were really keen to demonstrate what an alternative kind of urban form could look like.
Clearly local authorities are not about to let the Docklands dwindle. Super-sized plans include playgrounds, markets, cinemas and galleries. The City Council wants to revamp the harbourside esplanade, described as stagnant, and turn Docklands into a major transport hub, rivalling Sydney's Circular Quay. A clampdown on overdensity and substandard design will sweep in new planning controls later this year. Interim measures include a mandatory height cap, a mere 24 floors instead of the recent spate of 50 to 80 floor towers. Not all developers are up in arms. Dan McLennan is head of development at construction and real estate giant Grocon.
We're actually not surprised that these sort of interim measures have been brought in place, and I think it provides a framework for us to have a conversation over the next 12 months about what development should be taking place in the CBD.
International urban planner Roz Hansen told local radio, Docklands needs to look to Asia for better planning and amenities.
Hong Kong's got one of the best mass transit systems in the world, and it also has a way of moving people from home to jobs to services in a far more efficient way than we do currently in Melbourne. So it's actually got an infrastructure framework that is highly supportive of that amount of density. Unfortunately, Melbourne doesn't. At the moment, we have a very laissez-faire approach to high-rise development in the city, and we're not getting a great deal of public benefit in return for that private investment.
Some proof of Docklands' success can be found in a new economic survey, with the zone jumping in rank from 207 10 years ago to 88. Not exactly head of the pack, but a work in progress. The popularity gain is put down to better transport, telecommunications and shopping. For Monocle in Melbourne, I'm Tamara Tyson.